Okay, for everyone's information, we are recording, so make sure all you do that comes out of your mouth is praises and worship. Because this year is going to go to heaven.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. My name is Danny. I'm the host. And today we're going to have this class is a revival prayer for the 21st century workshop. Our presenter is Brenda, not Gates, but
Kate.
Okay, and we don't have a sponsor for this class, so the Holy Spirit will be sponsoring this class today.
Okay?
Let's welcome our presenter.
Amen. 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 Lord Jesus, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to move in this place. Lord God, we dedicate this time to you. Stir our hearts. Oh Lord, we pray by your precious Holy Spirit. Make us hunger more for you, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's been a wonderful summit. I tell you, after every seminar I've been in, I thought, I don't know why in the world they asked me. But here I am, unqualified and all. Amen. But I'm a child of God filled with the Holy Spirit and a desire to see God move. Amen. Amen. I don't have my tech people with me today. My son is returning from his honeymoon this evening, and my daughter is expecting her second child while chasing a one-year-old. So I don't have my tech people with me, so, and maybe we'll focus more on him. Amen. Amen. We're going to talk today about prayer that brings revival even in the 21st century. Revival is the means by which God sovereignly demonstrated his willingness to renew our hearts and cleanse his church. If we look back in history and see revivals, on New Year's Eve in 1739, John Wesley, a friend of his named George Whitefield, and some friends, they had a watch night prayer meeting. At 3 a.m., John Wesley wrote this: "The power of God came mightily upon us, insomuch that many cried for exceeding joy and fell to the ground." The first great awakening followed that prayer meeting. There was a period, this is Google that says this, was a period of religious revival that swept through the American colonies in the 1730s to the 40s, leading to significant changes within the religious practices and beliefs. Key figures like Jonathan Edwards and George Whitefield played a prominent role in those revivals, that awakening that influenced the development of new denominations that had a sense of a personal relationship with God. It paved the way for the American Revolution, amen, freeing so that all men could be free, amen. The second great awakening happened in the 1800s to the 1835, and it was characterized by emotional camp meetings, evangelical preaching, and a surge in church membership and a personal faith. Amen. It emphasized free will and salvation and led to widespread conversions, inspiring social reforms and the Civil War. Right? In the spring of 1904, a Welshman named Evan Roberts, amen, somebody's heard of him, was repeatedly awakened to pray from 1 o'clock in the morning to 5 a.m. And boy, by November of that year, a powerful spiritual awakening was spread throughout Wales. It became known as the Welsh Revival, which they sent ministers to us here in America thereafter. In 1906, we hear of the Azusa Street, amen, and the excitement that was going on in an old factory building in Azusa Street. And according to the Los Angeles Times, it said, "A bizarre new religious sect has startled people with breathing strange utterances and mouthing a creed which would seem no sane mortal could understand." Amen. Amen. And we see that Azusa Street, that revival that started, it swept across the country once again. in the early 1920s. Gets personal for me. In a small coal mining town, a little town called Hollandtown, my great aunt, Midge Holland Briggs, had a brush arbor, and she began to preach, and the Holy Spirit came down. And it went from a brush arbor to a small little church, and oh, the power of God was felt in that place. Truck drivers driving down the highway would park their truck and walk there because they felt the power of God coming out of that place. A woman was raised from the dead. They had faith. She was like in her 70s, and we might say, oh, she's lived a long life. No, she was raised from the dead to live another 20 years. Amen? God is faithful when people pray. I interviewed my grandmother once because she was there on the whole thing. And I said, how did this come about? She said, there was a hunger for God. Yes. There was a hunger for God. She had 10 children, my grandmother. I must have a drink, I'm sorry. Nobody likes a dry preacher, right? That's what I am. Anyway, she would hang her laundry, get the kids off to school, start her bread, walk down to the church, and pray. When it was time to come back, she would punch her bread down and go back to the church and pray. Probably switch the laundry in there, maybe started supper, but prayer was the center of it all. Amen. Prayer was the center of it all. Right. Amen. In 1969, Dr. Bill Bright, he said a revolution was needed. And he started a Jesus revolution, amen, in Costa Mesa, Florida, California. Pastor Chuck Smith, he started taking in the hippies, right? They came in their bare feet and sat on the floor, amen? And I dare say that Jesus movement that came across the nation as well affected my small church in Fredonia, New York. We had a glory barn where we would go and praise the Lord on a Friday night. Amen. And there was a hunger to know God more. And that college town was set on fire for Jesus because of the move of the Holy Spirit. Because there was a hunger to know him more and to be known by him. In 1995, revival broke out in Florida, Pensacola, Florida. Amen. Over 100,000 people gave their hearts to the Lord. Amen. And we see that happening there in New Jersey. And on New Year's Eve in 1995, the pastor prayed, Lord, visit our church and I won't get in your way. How many know we get in the way of the Lord sometimes, what he desires to do in us? In March 1996, the Spirit accepted that invitation the pastor gave there in New Jersey, and their 600-person congregation, there was a move of God, and thousands of people came, and there was a passion to know Christ as never before, as never before. So what is revival? I've got to fill in the blank here. I'll try and emphasize it for you. What is revival? We've seen it through history. I brought it back for a couple hundred years and brought you up to speed to where we are. Revival is a visitation of God. A visitation of God to bring to life Christians who have been sleeping.
Amen.
We're lulled to sleep. It's time to awaken. Revival is an inrush of the Holy Spirit. It's when the Holy Spirit of God comes and moves among us. Revival is times of refreshing. Times of refreshing. Revival is when the dry and thirsty receive a drenching from the Lord. A drenching. Church, we need a drenching. Amen. We need those latter rains to come upon the church. Amen. Not only in America, but around the world. Amen. We see fire starting. Let let's fan them into flame. Amen? Let's fan them into flame. Why does revival come? There's two reasons I believe we see definitely in the Bible. There's many, of course, but two prominent ones. The biblical reason is to save nations from judgment. 2 Chronicles 7:14, you know it. If my people who are called by my name, that's us. That's us. Who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. Second reason, I think, is an awakening of the church. Awaken the church. Awaken because we've walked away. We've wandered away. We've accepted things in this culture that we should not be accepting. Right? Awaken because there's disunity in the church. As Pastor Chopo said, our focus needs to be on saving the lost. An awakening because we need to be rebuilt. We need a refreshing. We need a renewal. And that comes by the Spirit of the living God. Amen. Revival is biblical. We see it time and time again in the scriptures, right? Joshua's ministry, Moses' ministry, right? David's ministry, Samuel's ministry, Elijah's ministry, Jehoshaphat, Joash and Jehoiada, the priest, under their age, right? Hezekiah, Josiah, and Asa, under Manasseh even at the end. How sad to live his whole life in evil and then come. But at least he came, right? And we see a turning there, right? In Nineveh, boy, revival broke out, right? And at Pentecost, praise God. Throughout the book of Acts, we see revival. Fires burning, 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 right? Yes. The impression the revivals made upon people turned their prayers toward petitions. Dear God, more of you, more of you. Psalms 85:6 says, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? That should be our prayer. Will you not revive us again? Habakkuk 3:2, one of my favorite verses. Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. I stand in awe of them. Renew them in our day, in our times. Make them known. I get tired of hearing I love to hear the stories of revival and how it changed cities and how bars closed down because the Spirit of God moved in. Amen. And the change was made in hearts and lives. Yes. But, oh, Lord, renew them. We need them. We need them now. They had experienced God's presence. When Habakkuk is talking there, there's one of your underlines, right? They had experienced God's presence and wanted it again. They had a heart for revival. For revival. One woman asked Billy Sunday, that great evangelist, why bother seeking revival, she said. It doesn't last. It doesn't last, she said. Revivals come and revivals go, she said. And he said, well, why do you take baths? They come and they go. We need revival because we need to be cleansed. Amen. We need to be cleansed. We need revival in the Hudson Valley. We need revival across New York, the city that we need. The church needs to be prepared. We need revival in our church because God wants the church to clean up its act and wake up, right? Yeah. Wake up. I declare that we can have revival if we have a heart for revival, if we have a heart for it. We see in 2 Kings 22 the story of Josiah. I've been doing a whole series on revival, so forgive me. I'll try and keep it going. But Josiah, what a great example there. The king had come to the throne at the age of 8, king of Judah. He sought the Lord. He began to seek the Lord as a teen, we're told, at 16, amidst a very, very pagan society. Very pagan. There was a desire, underline, there was a desire, a longing to know God more. To know God more. I was in Linda Schreck's wonderful seminar on burnout, and I thought, Lord, if you just revive us, we won't be burned out, amen? We'll be set ablaze, amen? Set ablaze for the work of God. When Josiah was 20 years old, he started repairing the temple. They've been collecting money, now put it to work. Put it to work. They started redoing that. They found in the temple the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. So here Josiah has been desiring to serve the Lord, to follow him, and he finds the word of the Lord. There's something about the word of the Lord, isn't there?
Yes.
Oh, the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He thought he was doing good. And then all of a sudden, wow, we really messed up. And God's judgment is going to be upon us. When they found that book of the law, they read it to the king. He ripped his clothes. So full of fear and terror, ripped his heart. These are the curses that God says. Maybe he read out of the last book there in Deuteronomy. He says, see, I beset before you this day life and good, death and evil. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. His eyes were open. I'm afraid our church today, not just my church, the church in general, we tend to accept things we've got no business accepting. One time at church, I started listing sins. And at first, everyone was, amen, 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 that's sin, that, amen. We got to preach against that, Pastor. Then I started getting closer to home, and it got quieter and quieter. Oh, your son is doing that? It's still wrong in the Word of God. Oh, this is going on? Oh, that's still wrong, right? And so our eyes need to be open. We need to be in the Word. We need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to show us what needs to go. Amen? Because there are things we have let in our door. And we've got to let them go. Amen. At the end of the book, there's a list of curses there that God would call down on Israel if they did not obey him and his law. Whew, they found that book. Immediately, Josiah began to pray. He prayed. He reached out to the Lord. He sent them to go find the prophetess Huldah. See what she has to say, will you please? Is there any chance we're going to live? Right? And God spoke through Huldah. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to show us. Show us, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Show us. Amen. Work in us. You see, repentance is always part of a prayer for revival.
Amen.
It always involves repentance. The truth had caused him to be stricken. He tore his robes. My God, my God. Like Isaiah, woe is me. Woe is me, for I'm undone. Oh, church, we are falling apart. We're getting undone. Amen. We need to be in prayer for revival fires. The same thing can happen here. We know how far our culture has fallen. Don't just sit there and shake your head. My, my, my. Oh, mercy. We pray for mercy. Pray for mercy. Who would have thought that the Supreme Court would redefine marriage? and that the White House would be lit up in rainbow colors to celebrate. When a famous male athlete would be named Woman of the Year. Who would have thought we would live to see that in America? When the American Library Association would endorse drag queens reading story hour to toddlers. We have fallen. We have fallen, and it's been on our watch. We need to repent. 60 million babies since 1973. A flood of pornography and human trafficking and opiates and feminism and Marxism and transgender activism. The family's falling apart and culture, cancel culture is everywhere. They've crept into the church. They've crept into the church. We gotta pray for forgiveness. We gotta pray for forgiveness for my sin. For the sins we've allowed in the church, for the sins we've allowed in our culture, our communities. We need to be people repentant before God. We need revival like never before. When we see the truth of who God is and then who we are, woe is me, right? No matter how bad or how dark things look, God and only God can turn it around. Amen. Only God. Revival can break forth, but we must be desperate. Yes. We've got to be desperate for a move of God, hungry for more of God. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would get a hold of our hearts. There's more that God has for us. But if we're too full of ourselves, we're too full of our programs, we're too full of our stuff and our things, we have little room left for Him. When the Holy Spirit conviction comes, He's going to change us. Amen. He's going to change us. We've got to repent and turn from our ways. Repentance is always, underlined, repentance is always a crucial part of revival. Revival is always, we've got to repent for our sin, the sins around us, the sins we've allowed, the influences we've allowed, right? We've got to do that. Josiah was ready to do whatever it would take to please God. His very heart was attacked. Oh boy. Yeah, his heart was broken. Broken so that God could use him in a mighty way. Use him. We see in 2 Kings 22, and we continue there, verse 13, the passage tells us how he sought the guidance of the Holy Spirit. As I said, they sent for the prophet Huldah, prophetess, right? Amen. To hear the word of the Lord. What were they to do? We need the Holy Spirit to instruct us, to teach us in what we're supposed to do. In verse 19, Huldah tells them, because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord. That's the key, right? When you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become accursed and laid waste. Yeah. And because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. God is waiting to hear from us. He's waiting to hear from us. He desires to move among us and heal our land. If my people, it doesn't say people from the world, if the people out there would humble themselves, no. His church, if they would humble themselves. We see Josiah, he acts immediately when he hears back from the Lord. We see that in 2 Kings 23, the beginning, he repents, he renews a covenant. You're our God and we are your people, right? And in verse 12, he sought righteousness. He went to town tearing down what the enemy had built up. He tore down the altars, he crushed the bones, he burned the things, he did everything he could to destroy the memory of that evil that had taken over the pagan worship. And in verse 21, he renews that relationship with God by renewing the Passover. What a time in their history when God brought them out of slavery, amen, by the blood of the Lamb. Church, we need to remember that. We need to renew our relationship with him, right? Because of the blood of the Lamb that set us free from our slavery, amen? And we need to share that news. We can learn so much from Josiah. He had a committed heart. 2 Kings 23:25 says, neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his strength. Oh, in accordance to the law of Moses. Oh, never before or never since. I believe the Lord's coming soon, don't you?
Amen.
I believe it. You see the signs. We don't know the day or the hour, but we see the signs. We see the signs that he is coming, the signs of his appearing. We want to be ready. He wanted a dry and thirsty nation. That's where we live, isn't it? To receive a drenching from the Lord. He wanted a visitation of God to bring life to all those who'd been sleeping.
Yes.
He wanted to see a restoration, a deep sense of God's near presence. We need that today. We need that today to please the Lord, to avoid the judgment that was coming. God spared Josiah his whole life. He didn't see that destruction, but it was still coming, right? He wanted God for his people, and he got it. He got it because his heart was responsive to the word of the Lord, responsive to the Holy Spirit. So I wonder this afternoon, how's your heart? How's your heart? The first step is praying. For in praying for revival is that hunger and that desire. You've seen it done different before. You felt the presence of the Lord before. And you want to feel it again.
Yes.
You need that again. Oh, brothers and sisters, if we would hunger. A longing. A belief that God wants to move in our day. In our times, make them known. Amen? The goodness and the glory of God. Oh, how he desires to set us free. To set us free. It's that desire. Andrew Murray said, insufficient or unsuccessful prayer is found in the lack of desire. If the outcome doesn't really matter to you, prayer won't prevail. But if it does matter to you, if your loved ones are hanging in the balance, in the valley of decision, if they're bound by addiction, if they're lost in our culture, it does make a difference. Oh, if there's a passion in our prayers, and there's a desire for more. Desire defines our prayers. We let go of fancy poetic words. Those lullaby prayers that put you to sleep. And that desire prayer is specific. And it's vital. And it's personal. Is it your family on the line? Is it your community going to hell? Is your community dying from opiates? Is your community suffering? Oh, then it needs to be a desire that God, he's the only one who can intervene.
Hallelujah.
He is the only one who sets the captive free. The Holy Spirit will show us God's purposes and his priorities. Because ours get all mixed up. If you desire revival, are you thirsty? Are you hungry for more? Do you want more than anything to please the Lord? He's ready and able to answer those prayers. It can happen again. He'll do it again. He'll do it again. John Knox said, "Give me Scotland or I die."
Amen. Amen.
John Smith in England said, "Give me souls or else I die."
That's right.
George Whitefield said, "Give me souls or take my soul." Guard your hunger. Cherish it. Don't put it up. Don't put it aside. But fan it into flame. That desire, Lord, I won't rest till I know you more. I won't rest till I see you taking dominion in my life. I won't rest until you set my loved one free. Lord, move among us, we pray. Lord, learn to weep over your Jerusalem.
Amen.
You'll see a God-breathed revival coming to your town when we desire it with all of our heart and all of our strength. Amen. Lord Jesus, we just come to you today. Yes. Lord, we want more of you.
Yes, Lord, more of you. Lord.
More of you, oh God.
Yes.
Lord, help us to hunger. Help us, Lord, to see in faith, believing what it is you want to do in our time and in our age, oh God. Lord, we pray you would make your power known. Lord Jesus, spark revival in our hearts, oh Lord, we pray. Set the captives free, Lord God. Lord, help us preach the truth in love, oh Lord. Move in our hearts and in our lives, in our families, in our homes, in our churches, oh God. Revive us. Awaken your church, oh Lord. Lord, may we seek you with all our heart and with all our mind and with all our strength, oh God. Oh, Lord Jesus, we want more of you, more and more and more of you, oh God. Move in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Move in our hearts. Cleanse us. Forgive us, oh Lord. Forgive us, oh Lord. Help us to stand with the righteous, oh God. Help us to stand upon the truth of your word. Lord, help us to lift you up, because you will draw all men unto you. Lord Jesus, revive us, I pray, in our times. Oh Lord, make them known in wrath. Remember mercy, Lord God. Oh Jesus, move in our hearts, we pray. Oh Lord, we dedicate ourselves to you. For your glory and yours alone, we pray. Lord God, for such a time as this, you have called us. And Lord, help us, we pray. In the mighty, glorious, precious name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen and amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.
I know we got to close. We're on the clock.
Amen.
Take it home.
That's right.
The church, God have mercy
yes.
on us.
That's right.
It's not their fault.
No.
It's our fault.
That's right.
We got to get our act together.
That's
in
right.
In the name of Jesus. Take
Amen.
This with you.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Brenda. I appreciate it.
You are welcome. Praise you, Lord.